Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. The World Series matchup is set. NFL football went down, and so did some college football. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting in here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, cuz they're free. So 283 coming hot at you guys, and so 282. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tossman, Roctosopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And yeah, wow, World Series matchup is set. NFL went down today. Some solid games across the board. The Giants and the Redskins was interesting. And then, of course, college football and a lot of good betting. How are you guys doing betting-wise, by the way?
I had a really bad week.
Nick. Hate to see it.
Yeah.
Everyone has good weeks. Everyone has bad weeks. We never wish any bad weeks upon any of the listeners.
Especially Nick, and who's a host.
Right. Listeners, yeah. And hosts. Mm-hmm. No bad bets, no bad beats. We would prefer, but if you are going to bet, you should go to betonline.ag. Josh, you mentioned it. The NFL season is in full swing. Mm-hmm. You might not be at the game this year, although there are plenty of people who are, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. Game spreads, totals, team, player, coaching, props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. It's open 24/7. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. And sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Nikki Snacks Kreider, your in-person or over-the-air expert.
Nick. Yeah, Nick went 5-0 last week, and then I guess he had a rough weekend this week. It happens.
Nick, where'd you miss?
It happens. I missed everywhere.
Oh, wow. Okay. So wide right, wide left, and off the post. Speaking of missing, Astros and the Braves missed the World Series. Rays were up 3-0 in the series. Astros came storming back, tied 3-3, but they end up getting it done. The Braves were up 3-1. In the series, they ended up losing to the Dodgers. Wild. Hey, you know what? I think, Nick and Toss, I'll ask you guys this. Is it a good matchup for baseball, Rays versus Dodgers? Obviously, I think the better matchup for ratings and everything would have been Astros, Dodgers. But all in general, is the Rays making the World Series good or bad for baseball? Because I can't decide if it's a good market team, a small market team making it is good, or if it's bad for business.
I don't think any matchup is bad for baseball. I do agree that the Astros and the Dodgers would have been more exciting just because of the storybook ending of the whole cheating scandal and how Dodger fans feel like they were robbed of a World Series. And if, you know, they were to win, it would kind of be a slap in the face. And if they were to lose to the Astros, it kind of would have been a slap in the Dodgers' face to be like, hey, fuck you guys. We cheated last time, but we don't need to cheat this time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it's not bad for baseball because the number one seed from both division or from both you know, leagues made it.
Yeah.
Dodgers and Rays are both one seeds. They both have the best pitching staffs.
Mm-hmm.
They both got, you know, pretty good lineups. I mean, the Dodgers definitely have a much better lineup than the Rays do, but the better teams prevailed in the NL and the ALCS.
I think it's a fair statement. The Rays were just not the sexy team this year, but truth be told, between Snell, Glasnow, and Charlie Morton, who's one of the best pitchers nowadays in the last, like, I guess, since turn of the century in game sevens, it was so ironic because we were heralding the Astros for paying him, I feel, when they won the World Series many moons ago in the early days of the charity stripe. Now they've let him walk and the Rays have paid him, and it came back to bite the Astros in the ass, who were a bit shorthanded when it came to starting pitchers, in my personal opinion. Obviously, the Rays had a Rosarena, who was absolutely electric. He's had like 7 home runs so far in the playoffs, which is absolutely wild. But on the other end, I feel like this is, if the Dodgers are not going to close now, I don't know when. And they do have young players. They have Buehler. Urias was great. Dustin May, I love him. Gingergaard, he's great. Obviously, Bellinger, Mookie. And then they have Will Smith, who looks to be the catcher of the future. But I just, like, for me, if not with Dave, if not with Kershaw, if you're not going to do it now against this Rays team who's good, but I think very beatable, I don't know when you're going to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they said this is the team to do it. They think they finally have the right formula and the game plan to do it with all the right guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got they've got 3 MVPs on their roster: Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw, and Cody Bellinger.
Mm-hmm. And that Braves team was nice. I was impressed. I mean,
both series went to 7.
Yeah,
both really good series. I think that the only thing that I'll say about the matchup, and I don't think it's the best matchup for baseball. And my one pushback to, I mean, both of these teams obviously very deservingly are in the World Series. They've been the two best teams, like you mentioned, Nick, in the regular season and, of course, in the postseason. But the one thing that's a bit of a bummer is that the only two major sports we really have right now are the National Football League and the MLB. And they're going to churn these World Series games out.
Yeah.
They are playing the first one Tuesday, then the next one Wednesday. Then I think they get a couple of days.
Then it's Friday, yeah.
Point being, this series is going to be over in a week.
Yeah.
And they had an opportunity. Unfortunately, like they weren't the ones that got to handpick these two teams. But if it had been the Astros and the Dodgers, you know, that storybook World Series, you know, the Astros obviously trying to shed the cheater label that they have on them, I think it would have brought a lot of eyes from non-baseball fans to the World Series.
So you think there's in jeopardy because of the speed, the way which the series is moving? Because the ALCS and the NLCS kind of unfolded rather quickly. The whole playoffs have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of like an interesting thing that these teams have had to adjust to.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more bullpen games. And it's definitely
benefited the Rays, obviously, because they have a lot of depth on their pitching staff.
Absolutely.
I just, you know, there is an opportunity here with no basketball going on right now, no hockey going on right now, where I think more eyes than normal are going to be on these MLB playoffs, and unfortunately, not a lot of people are interested in watching the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, that's not.
I mean, I am, but there's a lot of non-baseball fans who aren't. They should be interested. Yeah,
I think it's like that every year though when it comes to Major League Baseball. Like,
sure.
Last year, I mean, I don't think people really cared too much to watch the Nationals win the World Series.
Very true.
Really,
yeah, unless it's the Dodgers and the Yankees.
That's
Cubs.
That's what MLB fans, and that's what the MLB always wants, is they want New York versus Los Angeles.
Right.
And we're not going to get it. I mean, the likelihood of it happening is just not, it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
Just because there's so many good teams, and, you know, baseball is one of those things where, you know, the best team sometimes doesn't always make it. This is the year that it actually did happen.
Right. Yeah. And I think they can at least say they got one of the big market teams in there. Right. If it had been the Rays and the Braves, then the baseball, I know the Braves are on the rise, but they're not the Dodgers. They're not LA.
No.
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting because I think the people that are watching, if they're just a baseball fan, I think most people are going to be on the Rays side here. I feel like the Dodgers get a lot of heat. It feels a little bit like a super team. But I feel the same way that you do, Josh. I think they're going to take this one. I think this is their shot, and they have to capitalize. We didn't mention him, but Corey Seager put up one of the greatest NLCSs.
He's unbelievable.
I've ever seen.
He's unbelievable. He's the most slept on. It's so ironic. Him, Xander Bogaerts, like everyone. Look, don't get me wrong. I love Lindor. I think he's a great player. And I got into an argument with a buddy of ours, Lindor versus Bogaerts. And I took Lindor's side because of the namesake. And then we delved deeper into it. And realistically, there's 1A, 1B. You flip a coin, you got one. And I think Seager is in that same boat with these top shortstops. We're not that far removed when he finished second in MVP or third in MVP voting. He's a rookie of the year. He is probably through and through, career-wise, maybe the second best hitter, him or Bellinger, behind Betts on the team. Obviously, yeah, Turner and Muncy are great.
It's a thing where you get lost in the shuffle of a deep lineup, right?
Yeah.
With Bogaerts, he was always playing behind Mookie. You know, they have Devers. They've got JD Martinez. And then on the Dodgers, I mean, you got Bellinger, you got Turner, now you got Mookie again as well. And not to mention, Corey Seager did go down with that injury, a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
That kept him out for a whole season.
Yep. No, that's true. And he didn't even have that great of a game. He had a brutal game today, actually. It was Mookie, it was Bellinger that came through.
Yeah, he went 0 for 5, I think.
Yep, he did. Kike. Kike is the heart and soul of this team. My buddy, who's a Braves fan, hit me with the F Kike before this. He's like, he's useless. And lo and behold, and I hate to, I'm not a rubber inner. But I did text him, like, what did you say? Who was that guy you were shit-talking? What was his name? And after he hit that home run. But the thing with the Dodgers is the Padres are kind of breathing down their necks. I think the Padres, based on what I've seen with the Braves, are maybe a step behind Atlanta, but not a big step, like a shuffle. Because the Braves have Acuna, Young. I think they're going to have to re-sign Ozuna. Hopefully this Darno thing's not a fluke. Swanson's now panning out. Albies is great, and Freeman is a workhorse. So, and plus they have all these young pitchers. So the Dodgers, NL ain't no walk in the park.
The thing that I look at with the Braves though is that, you know, Freeman's got one more year left on the contract, right?
Yeah.
So they're gonna have to pay Ozuna and they're gonna have to pay Freeman in back to back years if they really want to keep this team intact. Obviously, looking at the Padres, their entire roster is under control for like at least the next 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
And that's including all the pitchers and the hitters.
Yes. The Padres are in an excellent position. The Braves as well, I think, are. But the Freeman Ozuna payment have to come because I don't think you're going to be able to replace. Ozuna was just so good this year. But fortunately, they signed Acuna to like an 8-year, $100 million deal, which is now looking like a massive steal.
Oh, it's a steal.
Which is like one of the best bargains in baseball. But I think it should be a good World Series. I'm going to go with the Dodgers, but I think the Rays should not be slept on. Between Snell, Glasnow, their bullpen, and Morton, I just think they could kind of come in there. And we saw the Dodgers lineup kind of fall asleep at times, especially the first two games. Fall asleep at the wheel.
I'm going to go with the Rays.
You think they're going to win, Nick?
I'm going to ride the Rays. Yeah, okay. I think there's a lot of magic there. I think that, you know, it's a team that has got a big chip on their shoulder. You know, obviously the pitching's great, but that's a lineup that's hungry. And, you know, Randy Rosarena definitely stepped up this playoff, and he's super exciting to watch. They're calling him the Cuban Mookie Betts, and, you know, I see it. I mean, he's an exciting player. But there's a lot of guys on that team that just play sound defense, that work the counts. I think they're going to give the Dodgers a really good run for their money. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if this game goes to seven games, or this series goes to seven games. But, yeah, I'm going to take it. I mean, I think the pitching is too dominant. And I think that they can shut down this Dodger lineup, you know, a couple games.
Yeah.
It's all it takes. It takes a couple bad games from a lineup.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. And Cash is a good manager. I mean, waited that.
That's great.
The Astros had all the momentum in the world, and for this team to kind of stick with it and pull this out is pretty impressive. Cool. All right. We'll go to the NFL football. We'll talk to some football. Any takeaways? We'll go a little Fab Five. We'll try to get five takeaways here from us. I could start it off.
Kick us off.
My biggest takeaway, and I hate to be a homer in this situation, but I'm a little nervous about the Pats. And I know we're coming off a wonky COVID week, so I'll kind of chalk it up to that. But even under Fitzmagic, the Dolphins look pretty good. I know it's the Jets, but they blanked them. The offense.
It's the first shutout of the year.
Yeah.
Shutout of the year.
Flores runs a good tight defense. There's all of a sudden a lot of weapons becoming available in the Dolphins. The offensive line looks solid. I mean, Fitzmagic, to really do damage, he can't have these turnovers, so I'm not super scared. But the Patriots' offense looked lackluster and unimaginative until the end, when they all of a sudden they're busting out these trick plays when the game's on the line. So I'm a little nervous about things going down in Foxborough. Fortunately, the Bills got absolutely walloped by the Titans, brought them back down to earth last week, and I'm curious to see how they hold their own against Kansas City, who's coming off a loss and should be very hungry. But for the first time in as long as I can remember, I really don't think the Patriots are going to pull out the AFC East. I really am like fully committed to that. It's not going to happen.
I would say you're a bit crazy if you think you guys are wholeheartedly going to win that division.
No, but I thought there when we lost to Seattle, I go, okay, this is a good football team that has a shot. And then this the loss to Kansas City is a wash because we didn't have Cam, and now Cam's coming back, and it's like a weird adjustment period. But it's ditto with Drew Lock and this Broncos team. They were in the same boat. And I don't think this Broncos team's anything to write home about. I don't think they're that great. I really don't.
Yeah, they didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right. It was 6 field goals from Brandon McManus.
And you can't ask any more out of the defense for the Patriots. I just think the offense, nothing was getting going in the run game. Shaq Mason is out, which on the COVID list, which hurts. But nothing happened in the run game, really. And Cam couldn't push the ball down the field. His arm looked great up until this week. And then I was so unimpressed by his arm. So that's my takeaway, unfortunately. I think the AFC East is officially... Yeah. I'm ready to lock it in with the Bills in fucking week 6, God.
Well, it'll be interesting because, if the Bills lose, they'll be 4-2, the Dolphins will be 3-3. All it'll take is one game, and they could be at the top of that division. Now, they blanked the Jets. We all know that the Jets are terrible. The Dolphins didn't convert a third down, which was a huge issue for me. I mean, the Jets' defense is better than their offense, but Fitzpatrick has to be able to connect. And the kind of missing piece for them is that, Myles Gaskin is not a three-down back, and if Parker can't stay healthy, they don't have that guy that they can go to over and over and over again.
I think that's a bigger issue for me. I think I was cool with Gaskin today. He ran really well. This is his best running game.
It was his best running game. And he didn't end up with over 100 yards on the ground.
No, but he averaged 5 a carry. I think
he's also getting the most volume right now out of any player, any other running back right now. I think they're giving him so many touches compared to any other running back in the league.
Yeah, he's getting
the volume. They're definitely putting the responsibility on his shoulders, and he performed well today. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see him really push past. I think he started a lot hotter than he finished.
Yes, that's true.
And he's just a small guy, so it's tough when he's in the red zone. But those are the really important runs where they're 3rd and 2, and what they have to do is they can't rely on Gaskin to get them 3 yards. Whereas you look in Tennessee, you look in Dallas, when those teams are 3rd and short, they give it to their power back. And granted, both those running backs are top 5 running backs in the league, if not the best two. I mean, we saw one of the most dominant performances ever out of Derrick Henry today. But I just, that's a concern for me, because I know that Josh Allen can do that. 3rd and 2, Josh Allen's going to take it for the Bills and get them a first down whenever they need it.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue for the Dolphins for me is Parker. I mean, this guy's got all the talent in the world. We saw it last year. But when is it, you have to stay on the field if you're number one receiver?
Right.
It makes it, it made a huge difference for the Falcons having Julio out there today.
Yeah.
It's a huge. You, if you're the number one receiver on your team and you're as talented as Devontae Parker is, and it's every game he's got something. And I feel bad for the guy, but still, it's every game. It's the groin. It's a hip. It's just something always with him.
Right.
And he can't get in a rhythm on the field.
Yeah, and you see what happens in Atlanta when Julio's clicking. Then Ridley gets his, and Gage gets his. It just opens things up. Hurst scores a touchdown today. I mean, they were firing on all cylinders. Finally, they got a win. But I think just back to that Patriots-Broncos game for a second, takeaway for me, and it's something that I'm reminded of every single year, obviously, but you have to have a surefire leg that can kick and get you points consistently, because there are teams that are the way that the NFL is played now. These teams are risking it, going for it on fourth and anything less than 5 yards. When they're within field goal range, or they're ripping a 50-yarder. So you have to be able to consistently put back 50-yarders to be a starting kicker in the NFL. And you look at what's happened in Jacksonville, and there's been some injury woes there, but they've had five different kickers.
They had a guy today at Jacksonville. I know they lost by 18 points, but they had a guy today who's never kicked a field goal in a game before.
Never. Not even in high school.
Not even college.
He hit one, though.
College or high school.
He hit the first one. He missed the next one that was like a 37-yarder. I mean, that's got to go in. I just, there's so many teams where if they don't have a, you know, what's a top 10 kicker, that they really miss some just easy opportunities to get some points up on the board.
You better have a sick offense. You better have an amazing offense if you don't have a good kicker.
Your special teams has to be flawless. If you want to be a championship team, you have to have flawless special teams. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at how many single-digit wins that there are across the league, right? I mean, those are games that are decided by special teams.
Right. And if you miss more than one field goal in a game, it makes all the difference.
It's all the difference in the world, man. It's all the difference in the world. I mean, the Patriots have always had good special teams. Oh, Brady, oh, Belichick. Special teams have always been great. Yeah,
you look at the two best kickers, well, who are heralded as the best two kickers in the NFL, Justin Tucker and Harrison Butker, on the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Yeah, oh, the Mahomes, Lamar. Justin Tucker's legitimately lights out, like life on the line good.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
What else?
I'll kick it to one of you guys. Nick, you got one?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll go back to that Miami Jets game. I mean, my takeaway is I don't think the Jets are going to win a single game this year. I really think that that's an 0-16 team, and Adam Gase should have been fired at halftime. He should have been fired week two. I mean, how much longer are we going to let it go?
Well, now they're just going to let it go.
Are they just going to let it go? You're just going to let them go 0-16, you think?
Oh, yeah, they're going to. 100%. I was talking, you guys know my dad's a huge Jets
fan. Ridiculous.
And yeah, I mean, it's sad because this was a team that we were like, okay, they have potential. Okay, they could kind of make some noise. And the GM's blown it. Everything's fallen apart. Everyone's asleep at the wheel. It looks like a team that's just uninspired and doesn't give a shit, for lack of a better term. And here's a crazy take. You guys remember when Eli Manning was drafted?
It's been a while.
By the San Diego Chargers?
Exactly. And he refused to suit up for San Diego. My dad, who's a Jets fan, posed that to me. John Elway was not drafted by the Broncos. He was drafted by the Colts. He's like, fuck you guys. I'm playing for the Colts and play baseball. Trevor Lawrence can go back to school if he wants and sit out a year and still be the first overall pick. Or he can go, I'm not going to play for you. He can make that happen. And if I'm him and the Jets have the first overall pick, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm suiting up for the Jets. You can't make me. I will trade me. I will hire an agent. I will go to whoever Eli had, and if that guy is retired, I'll go to a guy who's cut from the same cloth. I'm not playing for the Jets. If the Jets have the first overall pick, I will be shell-shocked if Trevor Lawrence is a QB on the New York Jets in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, that would be terrible for his career.
Horrible.
I mean, look at Sam Darnold. They've ruined him.
Something tells me that he's not that type of guy. But who knows? I probably wouldn't have said that Eli was that type of guy either coming out of college.
Because Archie Manning.
I don't know. It's the family, like Archie and Peyton and all them. Like they definitely have like kind of like an aristocratic type feel about it when it comes to football. You know, they're a football
old money New Orleans.
That's the thing. But like Archie Manning was on that New Orleans franchise. That was horrible.
He knows.
I don't want this for my son.
Go.
Yeah. But he didn't realize the Chargers were good.
I don't think that Lawrence would do that, which is unfortunate because I completely agree with you. I mean, I would hate to see that type of talent go to a school like that. But I think, you know, if there was a guy like Baker or a guy, well, Baker ended up in Cleveland, but I guess he thought the Pastors were a little bit
Listen, at least the Browns had a guy. Like, they had Myles Garrett, at least. At least you can go to that team and go, okay, they have something.
But who do the Jets have?
They don't have
Jamal Adams. They don't have Le'Veon Bell. They have Breshad Perriman. You have Frank Gore, who
Brian Flores tackled in college. Like, come on. He's a Dolphins head coach.
Yeah. I don't know. Frank looked pretty spry out there today. I was surprised. Every time someone was doing the tackles, I was like, oh, Perriman looks good. And I was like, that was Frank Gore?
Great, good for like this is what the Jets have become, like a waltz for Frank Gore out the door. I mean, what are we doing here? Yeah. Trevor Lawrence won't suit up for them. I think Nick, unfortunately, I think the Gase thing is not going to come to fruition.
I don't think they're going to fire at this point. Why?
Might as well tank.
Look what happens when teams fire their head coach; they win their next games. So you don't want that to happen.
Falcons, Texans, yeah.
And the Texans again today, very competitive against the Titans. Are we okay? The Bears won today. The Titans won today. Both those teams are 5-1.
Yeah.
How do we feel about them?
Titans are undefeated.
Undefeated,
right?
5-0.
Oh, the Titans are 5-0.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You're good.
I don't mean to take that away from the Titans. So are the Steelers.
Yeah.
Are the Titans? Is their undefeated season so far still a little bit of fake news?
No. Because
nope, I think they're good.
Yeah.
I think Vrabel is a great coach.
Yeah.
I think Tannehill is finally come to fruition in terms of being I wouldn't say elite, but I think he's a top 15 quarterback, top 10, maybe even top 10 quarterback.
Well, look, the guy's not making any
of the ball.
He's not making any mistakes.
He's playing good football. And Derrick Henry, man, is the best running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've given up on my stance of Zeke being the best running back. It's just this guy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Derrick Henry is ridiculous.
You ran 21 miles per hour at one point today. Like,
on
what
that 94-yard
touchdown. What was that? Like, that guy shouldn't be able to run that.
He does that, like, 5 times a year, too.
Yeah.
He does. He just busts them out like that.
Right. Big guys like that aren't supposed to be able to hit you with the 60-plus yarder, but he does it all the time because it's like...
And when you see... You see that stiff arm that he threw on Josh Norman the other day? Just manhandled him.
Yeah.
If a guy can do that and also race 94 yards and beat out an entire secondary, that is ridiculous.
He's an element in the pass game.
He's also
too.
6'3".
Yeah. But now they're utilizing him in the pass game.
And 50-yard reception in that game as well in overtime.
They're receiving – like, the Humphreys is not bad. He's
Humphreys
fine.
Is not bad, and they have a true number one,
AJ Brown. So now, all of a sudden, with both those guys back who have been out.
And Johnny was hurt today.
And
okay.
Had a great line, too.
Yes. Unfortunately, Luan's going to be out, though. He tore his ACL, left tackle, which stinks. Bad news for them. But having AJ Brown and Humphreys in the mix, Firkser is solid, I guess. But Tannehill can make that work. And now they can open up for the run. That team is good, and the defense, I think the defense can get it together. The defensive backfield is an absolute mess. Christian Fulton is getting manhandled out there. Malcolm Butler is, like, talking shit for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
They've had 330-plus point games this season, which is not great. But I think I'm hoping that the defense can shore up with Clowney there. I'm hoping they can really start working him in. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a very good football player. But I think they're for real. I think the Bears are legit going to that point toss.
I think their defense is just very good.
But I don't think their offense is going to be like, they can't beat you with their offense. I don't
know, but they want to win a game 17-10. They want to win a game 19-6. Like that, those are the type of scores that they want to put up. They know that they can't put up 30 plus. They don't want to.
I mean,
it's not their style.
They're winning the close games. I mean, they're managing the game. I mean, their defense is playing good. They're coaching well. I mean, I'm a big Matt Nagy fan. Their special teams is playing well. I mean, they're really doing all they can right now with a shit offense.
Yeah. I mean, no, their offense is – my issue with them, though, is when it comes to the playoffs and your defense is good, but guess what? Tampa's defense is also good.
Right.
And their offense is 10 times better than yours because you know their offense with Godwin back, once Fournette gets back – Gronk was great today.
Ronald, Evan, I don't even need Fournette.
Yeah, Ronald Jones.
Ronald Jones looks like Ronald Jones great. He looked like baby Derrick Henry out there.
Well, now they have both of them. So that offense is just going to keep getting better and better at this point. And when you go up against the Bears and their offense is going to smack yours, and their defense honestly is just as good because they stymied Rodgers and those boys today. They put in the work on them. They were ruthless.
I mean, it's the same thing as last year, really. They had the number one rush defense in the league last year. Their rushing defense is tremendous, and they just get to it's the same guys that are up front who are getting to the passer as well. They're scary up front.
I don't know who I was talking to before the season started, but someone said to me, Sue is done and overrated and ineffective, and that is the biggest BS I've heard about the NFL season thus far.
He's very effective. I mean, I think even more so than Sue. I know he's always talking. Devin White is tremendous.
Well, yeah, he's great, and we knew he was going to be great, and it was expected that he would take that jump to kind of a superstar linebacker, which he has. Him and Lavonte David are a dynamic duo. Pierre Paul, someone said he was going to be chump change. He still got it. Antoine Winfield's kid, Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah.
It could win defensive. Is there a defensive rookie of the year? I think there is. Right? I'd imagine.
Yeah, a D-Roy?
Yeah,
D-Roy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's just no Roy. So he'll win Defensive Rookie of the Year at this rate. He's all over the field. And Todd Bowles is going to get a head coaching job again. just not in New York.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Cool.
I could see him going to the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they kind of get that together. Pittsburgh or Baltimore for you guys?
Right now, I think Baltimore look vulnerable. I'll bring them up in the next takeaway, but Pittsburgh for me, for sure. I think that they've got a really great defense. They suffered a loss today with Devin Bush. That's sad. Torn ACL there. But I mean, they've got the run game. They've got the receivers. I mean, their weapons are ridiculous. Claypool is amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome in James Washington.
Yeah.
Finally coming to fruition, you know, because Deontay Johnson can't stay on the field. And now, you know, even though Juju isn't a number one, Claypool can be the number one and Juju's just another option.
Can they trade him?
Yeah, exactly.
Can they conceivably trade him for like a second and a fourth? Is that crazy? Yeah.
I don't know if you want to right now. I think.
Why would you want him? You got to win. You got a Super Bowl winning team right now.
Okay. For sure. Okay.
And you know that Big Ben's happiness is always in question. Always.
What about Juju?
You got to keep him happy.
What about Juju for Darnold?
For Sam? For Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
I just said you got to keep Big Ben happy, man.
I know you got to keep Big Ben happy, but like, how long is Big Ben going to be playing there?
He could play for another 3 years. I'm telling you,
guess.
That guy doesn't. He doesn't want the like. He is not the same.
He's a dickhead.
As Rodgers, he will literally stop playing. He will. If there's a guy behind him who he feasibly thinks like they're paving the way for this guy to take the reins, he'll be upset by that. He has been upset.
Remember what
by
he
that
said
before.
when they drafted Mason Rudolph? He was like, I don't know why they even drafted you. He told that to him.
Yeah, he's like not a he just gives off mean vibes. No, totally not a nice dude.
He's an angry man.
Yeah, he's pissed. Pissed in my bris. Yeah, Nick, go to your Baltimore take.
Good quarterback.
He is a good quarterback.
My Baltimore take, it's not so much about Baltimore, it's more about Philly.
Yeah.
We were shitting on Philly pretty much all beginning of the season.
Yeah.
We're in week 6 now, heading to week 7.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win their division.
Nope.
I think so.
Okay, I will. What do you want to bet?
What's the they're what? They're 1-4-1 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do think
that, I heard Nick's voice. You got a little high.
I do think that the Cowboys are going to beat the Cardinals tomorrow or tonight.
Yeah.
And I think that changes things. Look, in this NFC East division where every game matters, any game outside of the division is crucial.
Yeah.
And if the Cowboys can win this game against Arizona tonight, I think this just pushes me further away from Nick's bet being right. Look, I think they're competitive. Josh, like, I keep telling him that Carson Wentz is actually good, and he doesn't believe me.
Why? He went 21 for 40.
Josh was like, he was all in, it was all garbage time. I was like, how is it garbage time if it's a 2-point game? Which I still disagree with.
They were 2-point conversion away
from tying the game.
He was not good today. I don't know what you want me to tell you. He was 21 of 40, threw for under 250 yards. He took 6 sacks.
He had 33 fantasy points.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. But this is, we're talking about real life now.
Yeah, I was talking about fantasy.
Great. Like, fantasy is fantastic. But in real life, this Eagles team is not going
to. He made the plays to get them back in the game.
Sure. But other guys make plays too. And I am underwhelmed. It's not even just him. I'm underwhelmed by this entire Philly team.
His offensive line is terrible.
Their whole team is broken. They've made multiple picks in the offensive line. Things aren't panning out. The receivers, the Arcega-Whiteside pick was completely 10 out of 10 useless. Ertz is now hurt. They don't have Goddard. Miles Sanders, I mean, they only ran him. He had 118 yards, and they only ran him 9 times. They're running on fumes.
They were playing down the entire game, and yet they still only lost to the Ravens by 2 points.
I just don't think their team is good enough to beat the Cowboys with or without Dak. I just think they have so many holes, man. And this Baltimore team, I'm not impressed either. I'm really not.
I'm not either, and especially if Ingram is hurt going forward, Gus the Bus and Dobbins can't do everything for them, and I just think that that's supposed to be their MO, right? You get up early, you have your dynamic playmaking from Lamar and some of the guys on the outside, like Marquise Brown, like Hollywood, and Mark Andrews, and then you pound the rock and you run out the clock. And they were not able to do that today, and it allowed the Eagles to get back into this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue if they can't do that going forward.
And let me ask you this. Am I crazy in thinking this for Baltimore, guys? If they catch a team like Indianapolis, everyone's at full health in the playoffs, that Indy team is the Indy team that can upset them.
For sure.
Like
it's a very complete team.
If the Steelers or the Chiefs lost in like one of the early rounds, I'd be surprised. If Baltimore did, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, they're just not as scary.
They're vulnerable. They're definitely vulnerable.
Yeah, but win or lose tomorrow night, I think the Cowboys still booze in that division. Sorry to disagree with you, Nick, but I'm just not sold in this Philly team.
Oh, we don't think that. Judge and the Giants are going to roar back and take the division.
Riverboat Ron. I'm never going gambling with that guy.
Hey, they got a win today, guys.
Yeah, because
they were given a win.
They were.
You can't go for Kyle Allen.
Well, I don't blame it. They're 1-4. Where the Giants are 0-5.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly.
Well, they're playing for potential playoffs because the rest of the division is hot garbage.
Are they really, though?
Well, what happened if they won today, the Redskins? Or that's one for me. What happened if the Washington football team, that we better keep track. What happened if the Washington football squad won today?
They're tied for the most wins in the division.
They would have been ahead. Yeah, so they're playing technically for the playoffs. And your quarterback is not even Carson Wentz. It's Kyle Allen. And we're rolling out and going for two. And it's not even like you're playing a good team where, okay, if you're playing like the Chiefs and you're trying to get a lucky win.
Their quarterback is Kyle Allen.
But if you're trying to get a lucky win against the Chiefs.
Do they think they're going to make the playoffs with Kyle Allen?
Every team in that division stinks.
Honestly, though, but who would you guys rather have? If you, starting now, you're the Washington football team, who do you roll out? Your goal is to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you roll out Haskins? Do you roll out Smith? Do you roll out Kyle Allen?
Smith.
Alex Smith.
To get you to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been there.
Multiple times. Even I would like, I don't know what they're doing with Haskins.
That's a tough, honestly, it's a pretty tough question because I can't confidently say that Smith, they're playing the Rams who have a great front four who are always going to get to Aaron Donald.
That Rams team was tonight.
They were not good tonight.
That game stunk. Sunday night football and Thursday night football.
Hey, that's the one bet that I did win.
The Rams or the Niners?
The one bet that I did win was the Niners.
That makes me happy, Nick, to hear that.
But didn't that make a difference?
And they took Haskins' trade value, and everyone in that front office literally whipped out their dicks and pissed on his trade value. What's he worth now?
I don't even know.
Would you give up a third or a fourth for him? Maybe. For a flyer from the Colts. Yeah, sure.
I guess.
He can't even start for this team.
No. He can't. Yeah.
All right, we'll go to college football, unless anybody has any more piece they'd like to make with the NFL right now.
No.
Cool.
No other piece. Disappointed in Aaron Rodgers today.
Yeah. I'm happy for DeAndre Swift. He kind of got it going. Surprised me.
Yeah.
It's all said. Speaking of disappointing, not to be too negative, I'm a little disappointed with the state of college football right now, and not even with the NCAA, just the field of college football. Now, we haven't seen the Big Ten get involved. And that could really change everything. But nonetheless, I don't think it'll change my fundamental issue. And that is Clemson and Alabama are just head and shoulders of the teams that are currently playing right now. It's not even close. Like Alabama, like Georgia kind of have, like, okay, this Georgia team, the defense is pretty solid. And the second half, the Bama defense took over. Georgia couldn't do anything, and they couldn't stop a nosebleed. Back-to-back years. Like, I don't even know when this happened. Back-to-back years, Alabama is going to have two wide receivers go in the first round. Back-to-back years. Two different sets of wide receivers. How wild is that?
It's pretty crazy. Waddle, he's fantastic, though. And Mac Jones is very, very legit.
He's great.
He's good enough. Sure, he's good, yeah.
You can't say good enough.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's good. His offense is good. Najee Harris.
It's hard to not be good with that offense.
Yeah. Najee Harris, excellent. And then on the other side in the ACC, and at least maybe in Alabama, look, I think it's plausible that Florida somehow gets in there and gets a game on them in the SEC championship. I mean, I think that's the best shot we've got. But I would be surprised. Like
I really do not think anyone is beating Clemson this year.
It's how?
No, I don't even think it's Alabama. They're like, they can beat the Jets, I feel like.
No, I will never bow down to that point. But but like it's not even. But my point is, it's not even fun.
Yeah,
they beat Georgia Tech 73-7, and Georgia Tech is not like this wishy washy like D2 school.
I mean, you look at their team, man. They've got the best coach right now in college football. They got the best quarterback in college football. They got the best running back in college football. They got the best defense in college football. I mean, you go down the list, they got it all.
I don't know how they're How can they lose?
And they're in an easy conference. They're going to just walk through that conference. Took care of Miami. That was the only threat.
They're not even walking through, though. 73-7 is like... They are basically just Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they're just
Derrick Henry running through
the conference. The rest of the conference, the Georgia Tech team is carrying them up. Then you got Pittsburgh and Miami feeding them grapes. I mean, Notre Dame is the number, what, 3-4 team. They have to go play Clemson. Do you think that game's going to be close? They beat Louisville 12-7. They're going to get spanked.
Yeah.
And the issue is, we're going to see Clemson in the Final Four. We're going to see Bama, and we'll probably see Ohio State. And then at that point, maybe they'll throw Georgia a bone, or if Oklahoma State can get out of the Big 12 unscathed, which I nothing against them. I just think it's so tough in that conference. I don't foresee a Pac-12 team getting in there. I don't even know if they can with the way their schedule breaks down. We're going to see Clemson and Bama again and Ohio State. And at what point are we bored to absolute death?
I'm already kind of bored with this season, to be
stinks.
Completely honest.
I'm over it.
I think that most people who are college football fans don't really look at this season as a regular season. I think this is kind of one of those things where they try to throw it together. You know, they missed the boat on getting started the right way. You know, with the Big Ten joining late, with the Pac joining late. It's just kind of a shit show. I mean, you look at Bama with Nick Saban getting sick and their players getting sick. And you look at Florida, all their players getting sick. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, with college campuses, it is extremely hard to contain this virus, right? There's no bubbles. You can't put everyone, you know, in a segregated place where, you know, the athletes are not going to be mingling with other students and you know, contaminating each other. This season is pretty much a wash.
Yeah.
And it's also a wash because there's two teams that are far and away the best, and we see it every single time. Well,
that's my bigger issue with it.
Yeah, it's a wash to everyone but those two teams. But it's always the same for those two teams. I mean, there's not any parity in NCAA football.
Give me eight teams in the playoffs there instead never of four. Is. Like, what are they?
Like, I'm trying to say, like, I'm not as psyched to watch Saturday football as I am anymore.
I'm
not this season.
No, I'm not either. I'm going to go do something.
I was watching that Georgia-Bama game, and yeah. I was like, okay, like,
yeah, we really needed Georgia to have some sort of a second half in that game. Just for the sake of college football fans across the nation.
You know it's a lame season when potentially the Heisman winner could come out of BYU.
The quarterback is sick.
He is sick. Zach Wilson is awesome. But, like, they should have been better. They should have been more prepared. They should have eight teams in the playoffs. Like, I don't know what they're doing. They'll have the, like, UNC was ranked 5. They lost to, like, a Florida State team that hasn't been good in, like, 15 years, minus, like, 8. They've been good in, like, 7 years. LSU, lackluster, you know, after an amazing season, which sucks for everybody else. And Miami, everyone thought was back. Texas, everyone thought was back. Both teams, not back. Bo right. Nix and Auburn, stink.
Oklahoma, already dropped 2 games.
Tennessee, okay, they could be competitive. No. Cincinnati's ranked 8.
Yeah. Go Bearcats.
What conference do they even play in? that's college know. Football. Is there anything, what's freaking unrelated to sports? Is there anything you can't find on Amazon?
No. You can find everything on Amazon.
Do you guys have a problem with that?
They're in the AAC, by the way. The Cincinnati.
No, Bearcats. I know where they are. Do you guys have a problem with that, though? Is Amazon and Google... We were out with our friend, and she was telling me all about the amenities that Google has for their employees.
Amazon and Google are the Clemson and Alabama of things that we use.
You could pretty much, as a Google employee...
Where else are you going to go? You're going to go to Ask Jeeves? You're going to go to Yahoo? You're going to go to Bing?
Facebook?
I didn't think so.
Facebook? No way. I wouldn't work for Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Apple's Ohio State.
Yeah, Apple's Amazon, Ohio State, yeah.
Amazon is Alabama.
Yeah.
Google's Clemson.
Googs.
I don't know what Amazon and Apple give as amenities, but from the sound of Google, you could pretty much get anything you want outside a happy ending for free as an employee.
Nick, you ordered the new iPhone, right? You pre-ordered it?
I did, yeah.
You excited about it?
I'm long overdue. Long overdue.
What were you working with? A 7?
iPhone 7 with a terrible charging port. that I had to jam the charger in every single time and make sure it stays connected.
I've been there.
Bad battery life. It's starting to lag right now. This is going to be the longest 2 weeks of my life waiting for this phone.
It's crazy. And you had to order it 5 a.m.?
Enjoy 5 it.
5 a.m. Friday, yep.
Enjoy it, Nick. Enjoy it, though, because, look, I'm not even kidding you. I didn't check my phone once on Saturday when we were at the beach, Nick. Or, like, I didn't really check it. I didn't check it last night, and I didn't really check it today, except when I was...
It's still liberating.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And you guys know I'm on my phone all the time, and I really don't like it anymore. I just, like, want... I don't have a desire to be looking at my screen, and I don't think anybody does. You know?
When you're at the beach, like, enjoy the beach, you know?
Exactly. Enjoy the beach. I'm not going to, like... And listen, if you want
to... How are you going to take photos?
If you want to take a photo, that's one thing. You know, if something crazy happens at the beach, you want to take a video, that's another thing.
To be honest, one of my biggest pet peeves...
Yeah.
When people go to concerts is when they're taking photos and videos the entire concert. It's like, boy, you're going to, like, lay in bed and watch the entire concert that you just saw. Like, come on. Like, enjoy the show.
Some people definitely do that.
I'll take a video or two. I'll take a video or two.
No.
People watch it back. Yeah, they watch the entire thing back. That's what YouTube's for. If you want to, you went to the concert, they've got better videos and angles than you have anyway.
100%, dude. That are absolutely crushing it versus me, who's fucked up as shit trying to do it with my two shaky hands. I'll take a video or two just from my seat so I can look back and have that memory.
So people can know where you are.
I don't even post them on some of the videos I've done.
I rarely whip out the phone when I'm at a concert.
Yeah.
I'm just saying generally. What do you mean? You're not going to tell people that you're at Fish at New Year's Eve?
Always, dude. I'll get the ball drop. But, like, it was like 2 years ago, I got the ball drop on video. And this past year, I just had a warm embrace with my boys. And you know what? Can't beat that anywhere. And that's nice. It's a nice feeling. I don't know. I'm kind of, but the phone thing, I will say, does, while we're shitting on it,
so
does
pause
have,
the show. Put up your phone and keep driving. Roll down the window and stick your head out like a dog.
So you just make that up.
Yeah.
Kind of even understand.
This is the one time where we'll tell you, pause the show. Pause the show.
Pause it.
Get outside and go play. NFL. What if the NFL used to, like, promote that on Cartoon Network? They'd be like, get up off the couch. Stop watching cartoons and go play with your friends in the backyard.
I'm at like a, I don't even know why I have this dilemma, because I don't even have a girlfriend, let alone fiance, let alone wife, let alone mortgage, let alone the actual kids. But I sometimes think of when I will one day become a parent, how much am I going to have my kid on the fucking iPad or the phone?
Oh, they'll have their own thing. There'll be something else.
Sure, but, like, am I going to – is it a hindrance to them where they're technologically behind the other kids in class and they're poking fun at little Fisher?
Maybe.
Or am I better off for this kid going outside, letting him climb trees, get a scrape or two?
I feel like you can have a good mixture of both. I mean, there's definitely – I mean, our society now, like, every kid knows how to use an iPad for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you do have to, in a sense, if you're not going to, the school will. I mean, there's schools that are giving kids iPads to take home to work on their homework, right? And, like, my little brothers are still in high school. They're sophomore and junior. And, like, the school issued them computers. And, like, you need to be able to be tech savvy right now with our society.
100%.
That's Ohio State in your ear at fifth grade saying, come to our school, come to our school.
Yeah. That's like you have to be tech savvy. I'm with you, but I just don't.
But there's a good mix. You could obviously say, yeah, Saturdays no iPad. We're going outside. We're going to the beach. We're fucking hiking. We're doing this. We're doing that.
The kids downstairs.
Hey, kid, son, daughter. We're fucking hiking.
Fucking put on your shoes.
Oh, you know some dad. I'm gonna talk to my kids that way.
Nick.
Hey, we're fucking hiking.
Dad. Fucking hey, Dad. Here. Yeah, what's up, son? Uncle Nick scares the SH, whatever he's been saying, out of me.
I agree, though. I mean, look, these kids are learning. The ones that aren't going in school are Zooming into class right now. Not like Zooming on, like, their little Razor scooters like we did.
Well, the kids that live under the studio. We live in the studios on a duplex, and there's a family that lives below us.
Yehuda downstairs. Yeah.
Yehuda downstairs. They're outside all the time.
The children that Josh and Toss keep under the studio.
Jesus, Nick.
The children in the studio.
The children in the forest. Those kids are outside all the time. And
on their bikes. We've got a good neighborhood for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's a safe neighborhood where they can ride their bikes around.
And yeah.
There's like houses down the street where the parents have like little activities out in the front yard where they like congregate the kids in a safe way, which is nice for those kids to be out and about. But I can only imagine if you were in your house, you didn't have any brothers or sisters right now. What else do you have besides your technology and your parents, right? If the parents aren't taking the kids out to go do fun stuff, cool stuff, get out in the world, see things, then there's not much else besides Netflix and chill.
Yeah, it stinks.
It's also right.
Netflix and lemon chill.
Too.
Yeah, lemon chill.
Well, I think sports comes into play for kids too, though.
For sure.
Getting them out there, whether it be soccer, baseball, football, basketball, just have them out there doing something, play with other kids, get a sense of, being competitive out there.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. And just remember that your Apple iPhone, aka Ohio State, is watching everything you do. So if your kid has a hell of an arm, they'll be the first to know.
They'll be right there to scoop them up. Cool. Great show, guys. Really fun. The fans out there, drag both feet in bounds, swing on a full camera with that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they are free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.